House Committee on Revenue for July 1st, 2015 will come to order. We're having a work session on Senate Bill 61. We'll open that. Paul, do you want to explain Senate Bill 61 to us and also the proposed A-10 amendment, if you will?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This topic, even though Senate Bill 61 is new to you, this topic is not. It was, you discussed it under House Bill 2099, and that identical bill was introduced on the Senate side, and they've made some modifications and sent it over to you. The gist of the bill was to adjust the list of jurisdictions to reflect the Department of Revenue recommendations. Those recommendations were only partly reflected in the Senate Bill 61A. A couple of jurisdictions are added, Guatemala and Trinidad Tobago. There's an adjustment made for the Antilles, and the individual jurisdictions are now listed separately, and so that because they're not a political unit now. So that correction is made, and that's the extent of the adjustments in terms of the jurisdictions that are listed. It does have the language that you discussed around the situation where you have a income that's reported in the jurisdiction but originates from a from outside the U.S. You have an amendment that adjusts that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. That's the one part that your A-10 will change. The other components of the 61A are that the criteria are listed in the statute now, the multi-state tax commission criteria that the department used and discussed with you when they issued your report. So those are in the statute in the 61A. The other thing that's added here is some more work for us at Legislative Revenue to report to the 2017 legislature on the cost effectiveness of acquiring corporations to report income in these listed jurisdictions. So we, of course, have been anxious to see the actual data come through on this. As I've told you before, the 2013 law was affected with the 2014 corporate tax year, so we still don't have any hard data. So we'll be waiting to get that, and the department has set up a system so they'll capture the effect of that requiring reporting of that income in those jurisdictions. So that's the Senate Bill 61A as it came over to you. It does have a negative revenue impact because so we do think that the of $700,000, because we think that the language in Section 2, Sub 2 that adjusts for income from a third country would have a slight negative revenue impact. And you can see the impact there at $700,000. Now, the amendment, the A-10 amendment, and if you look at that, you can see that it takes out the section where you have the elimination for income in a reported in a third from a third country that's not U.S. Oriented. And what that initiative or what that amendment does is it changes it so that it says nothing in this section that's addressing the reporting of income from a listed jurisdiction. Nothing in this section precludes either a taxpayer or the Department of Revenue from asserting that the provisions of ORS 314667 apply. That provision does give the department the ability to adjust the apportionment formula when the result is not an accurate reflection of the corporation's business activity in Oregon. This solution was actually very similar to one that was used and you passed the last session dealing with Mentor Graphics and some intellectual property income that was coming from a third country. It's a similar kind of situation. So that solution is would be in the A-10 amendment. That, because the 314667 is current law, that in effect takes away the revenue impact. We think it would continue to address the issue that the concerns that you've raised about this non-U.S. income is not appropriately something that should be added to the water's edge to reflect business activity of the unitary filing group. But it still wouldn't have a revenue impact because it is current law. So that puts you with the only impact now that shows up is just the addition of the small countries, and this, of course, was all macro level secondary data we're working with. So we're looking at very small numbers, and our estimate is about 100,000 a year with the as a result of adding those smaller countries. So I have asked Joe DiNicola from Department of Revenue to come up and explain to the committee how 314.667 would apply in this case in the context of the implementing the statute.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Joe DiNicola, for the record, Oregon Department of Revenue. And as Paul explained, the provisions of ORS 314.667 are in current law. This is part of the standard UDIPTA apportionment formula that Oregon uses and dozens of other states also have in use for purposes of apportioning income of a unitary business conducted in our state. And, you know, getting back to testimony provided previously, the apportionment formula itself under Chapter 314 is designed to clearly reflect only income from the unitary business that's conducted in this state. Only that income is subject to tax when the apportionment formula is used. Concerns have been raised previously that this would somehow, these by virtue of the addition of these listed jurisdictions and the income from those jurisdictions, we may be reaching income that has nothing to do with the Oregon business, or that will serve to not clearly reflect the business activity conducted here. That is exactly what ORS 314.667 is designed to address. A taxpayer may petition and demonstrate the fact that this is all out of proportion. This tax result is all out of proportion to the business that we conduct in Oregon. The department will review those petitions and make determinations based on a case-by-case analysis. These are very fact-specific, obviously, that we would consider those petitions. The department also has the authority under this statute to require an alternate method if it's felt that the standard apportionment formula does not clearly reflect the business activity in this state. And if you have specific questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. I do, but I'm going to see if anyone else does first. Yes, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at the references in the in the bill as engrossed and the A10 amendment. The bill refers to ORS Chapter 317 as Section 2 being added to ORS 317. The ORS 314.667 says that this petition process is applicable with respect to ORS 314. So it's unclear to me how the petition process applicable under 314 could be used when the bill is adding language to 317.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, these two chapters, ORS Chapter 317 and Chapter 314, work in combination to arrive at Oregon taxable income. So our starting point for taxing a corporation in doing business here is we start with federal taxable income. This is under Chapter 317 of our statutes. That federal taxable income is then subject to certain modifications, again under Chapter 317, to arrive at a base amount of income. Chapter 314 deals specifically with apportioning that income to arrive at what we call Oregon taxable income. So, again, they work in tandem to arrive at the tax liability of an individual taxpayer.
Thank you.
Thank you. You refer to a petition in 314. Can that be done as part of the tax return? Could a company, for example, say, here's my income from X covered country, but it doesn't accurately reflect. Here's the schedule that shows it doesn't reflect. I'm paying taxes based on this schedule. And consider this your petition. Or here's the petition added as a schedule. And they behave it that, and they do it that way, or do they have to do something else?
No, Mr. Chair, that's exactly how the process works. It is we consider these petitions as part of the return that's filed.
Okay.
That's typically how we identify that alternate method that's being petitioned for. The taxpayer attaches generally a statement and a schedule showing their alternate method.
Right. So the way you would actually get to that, if you ever did, would be by way of an audit.
Yes, it is a specific request to the department to consider this, and it's filed as part of the return. And yes, that would be part of our normal audit process.
But if you never audited them, it would simply be accepted because they filed a return and paid the taxes shown on the return.
That would be true, Mr. Chair. But generally, again, these petitions are subject to review and scrutiny. We would certainly take a look and determine whether either we agreed, the department that has agreed to this alternate method, or if in fact we accepted it without further review.
Okay, so let me translate and see if you agree with that. I think what you just said is this kind of a return always gets audited for the purpose at least of reviewing the petition.
Mr. Chair, I would say they would be subject to review. Whether they're subject to further audit would be
is a different question.
A different question, yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Anything else for the department? It's the important issue here is to understand this thing. I have to say that I really appreciate the department coming forward, I think it was only last week, recently, with a much clearer understanding, for me at least, of this issue, so that we can actually apply this portion of the Uniform Apportionment Code, which is in Chapter 314, to this problem that we've been working on for months, and it turns out we really probably didn't need to. And I'm glad we finally untangled the web. Thank you very much. Anything else for him?
I'll make a motion, actually.
Can we have a recess first?
Oh, thank you. 5 minutes?
That'd be more than enough.
Thank you. The committee is going to stand in recess for just a moment or two. Please do not wander off. Committee's in recess. Committee will come back to order. Representative Vance.
Chair, I move the A-10 amendments to Senate Bill 61.
Thank you. Representative Vance moves the A-10 amendments to Senate Bill 61. Is there any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Betts?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 61 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Betts moves Senate Bill 61 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? I'll simply note it's been a long conversation this year. We've made a little progress in this area. It's no secret that I would have liked to have made more, but we're continuing. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, it's so ordered. I think I'd better carry this one. I seem to be carrying a lot of them lately. And I apologize for that. And with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 61. And Paul, any chance we're going to need to meet again today?
I hesitate to say not any chance, but not that I know of.
Okay, and I can convene a new meeting if I have to?
Yes, you can convene a new meeting. For a work session, you need no notice.
No notice. So. But I can adjourn now and still come back later if it's appropriate. All right, thank you. Committee's adjourned.
Yes, we used to do that a lot.
What else do we have out there?
3 a.m.
Huh? What else do we have out there?
Don't go home.
I don't know.
<3 a.m. laughs>
What else do we have out there?
Don't go home.
I don't know.